Let us turn now to God's Word, and we're going to read together from 1 Kings chapter 18, and reading from verse 1. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in another direction by himself. And as Obadiah was on his way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord, Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they would say, 'He is not here,' he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you I know not where. And so when I come to tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me.'" And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all the people, gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." We finish there at verse 19, and God will bless to us this reading from his word. I want us to look at some of these verses this evening in 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember the background to this section of scripture, that Ahab had married a most evil woman, Jezebel, and there had turned away from God and turned, of course, to idols. And because of that, God had sent a terrible famine, a terrible drought upon the land. And for 3 years, the people had been without rain. And you can imagine how nothing would grow, and the situation was dreadful. But in all that time, and it's another story, of course, but you remember how Elijah was looked after by the widow of Zarephath. God had supplied him with food every day. God had faithfully cared for his servant. But now the time has come. Ahab would be confronted by Elijah. It's a decision time, and Elijah is sent by God to meet King Ahab. So the first thing I want you to think about then, or to think about this evening, is that Obadiah goes to tell his master, Elijah is here. Elijah is here. Verse 8. Now, you have to keep in mind that for 3 years, God had hidden his servant. And you tell from the verses that we read that Ahab had searched the country for him and sent men out everywhere looking for Elijah. And in every country, Ahab had asked if Elijah was there. And when they didn't find him and they said, look, he's not here, the king held them responsible that if Elijah had turned up in some of those places, Ahab would have brought vengeance upon them. Everyone was held accountable, but still Elijah was kept safe. You know, sometimes we hear of rewards being issued for information that would lead to the arrest if someone has done wrong. Well, here's a situation where Ahab was just simply saying, look, if I find him and you have told me that he's not there, you will be held accountable. So it was pretty fearsome what Ahab was doing. But the wonderful thing is Elijah is kept safe. And that's tremendous, isn't it, when you think of how God looked after him. God was keeping his servant for the work that he still had to do. In Psalm 61 it says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. God looking after his servant. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? God looks after his people. And that's something that we should always remember. Sometimes, you know, we think that God has sometimes forgotten us or that... You know, something has happened to us, something unexpected, something maybe not very nice. And we think, where is God? Well, listen, God never forsakes his people. That's the point that we must understand always. And even in the darkest hour, he never forsakes his people. And this is evident here with Elijah. Elijah was looked after. And surely he also will look after us in every circumstance of life. So the king and all his servants had hunted for Elijah, but God, in a sense, had planted a hedge around him. And he was safe. He was safe. What a joy it is to know that in him we are safe. The hymn writer put it, a sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand. Unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. A sovereign protector we have, unseen, but yet forever at hand. God looked after Elijah, and God will look after his people in every generation. Are we conscious of that? I wonder sometimes, are we in our daily lives, do we think that in some way God has overlooked us? So the second thing I want you to notice then is this meeting with Ahab. Elijah meets Ahab. We have it here in verse 17. Now when you think of it, after 3 years of famine, after 3 years of searching, and now he's told by Obadiah, come, Elijah's here. Come and meet him. What should Ahab have done as he has time to think about coming to meet Elijah? When you think of all that had happened, whenever you think of the prodigal son in the New Testament and he sat down and realized, look, in my father's house there's plenty. And he made up his mind to go back, and he said he would acknowledge, he acknowledged his sin. He made no excuses. He had learned his lesson. He came back to his father. He came back repentant. But there's no sign of that with Ahab. There's no sign of that with Ahab. Ahab had suffered with his people for 3 years, and yet as he approaches Elijah, there's no sign of acknowledgement of his sin. There's no sign of any acknowledgement that his wife in any way and he were responsible. And now Elijah stands before him. And notice what Ahab says in verse 17. Verse 17, is that? Verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel? Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Imagine, after all these years, he looks at Elijah and he said, "You're the one who's troubled Israel." Now, Elijah's blamed. Now, does it not seem incredible that the king should do this? How could Elijah be to blame? Elijah didn't come with an army. And Elijah didn't come with swords and spears. He didn't lead a rebellion. And yet, he's the one, as far as Ahab's concerned, who troubles Israel. You see, Ahab realizes that Elijah's involved. Yes, he's involved. But should Ahab not have begun to think, how could a man stop the rain coming? How could a man stop the rain coming? How could a man stop the rain for 3 years? Yes, he looks at Ahab, he looks at Elijah, and he realizes Elijah's involved, but in what way, you see? In what way? It doesn't seem to come into his head that God is behind all that's taking place. Elijah is a servant. God had directed Elijah, and Ahab must understand this. But yet, it's Elijah that takes the blame. Takes the blame. This accusation of Ahab is not unusual. Whenever Amos was a prophet, he was charged with conspiring against King Jeroboam. Jeremiah, whenever he spoke against the evil of his day, he was put in a pit to keep him out of the way. And another occasion, Ahab spoke of a prophet called Micaiah ben Imlah and said, I hate him because he always speaks evil. He never speaks anything good. He always speaks evil. You think of how the world tries to blame, like Ahab blaming Elijah. It's the Lord Jesus was accused of stirring up the people. Jesus said, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hates. The works thereof are evil." You see, Elijah and indeed all God's servants had to make the message known. That is central, isn't it? The message is not popular, and it wasn't popular with King Ahab. But he had to be told that his way of life was evil, and God's anger was directed against him. And Elijah was faithful in doing so. But because of that, he was hated. "You're the one who troubles Israel," he says in verse 17. Why did Mary, Queen of Scots, hate John Knox, for instance? It was because he was faithful to God and denounced the sin in the nation. Why did Stephen, the first martyr, suffer as he did? Why did the people hate him? Because he had made known their sin. And this is still the same now. God's servants are hated, ridiculed whenever they expose sin. The truth is not popular. And that's increasingly going to be the case, I think, in the days that lie ahead, that we're not popular maybe even as it is, but we're even going to become less popular. We hold firmly to the scriptures and teach the truth. You know, this whole business of our stand with homosexuality and same-sex marriage and things like that, we're going to be ridiculed more and more. We've got to understand that, and we will be ridiculed. And we must stand firm behind what the scripture says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that they ridiculed him and they would ridicule us, and they are ridiculing us. And we need to be to be aware of that. Jesus said to his disciples, "Rejoice when men persecute you, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you." They persecuted Elijah, Jeremiah, and the other prophets before them, before the disciples. You know, there are those who would blame the church for trouble in this land. And not only this land, but in other lands. They would actually say that religion is the cause of trouble. Religion is the cause of trouble. It was in the Times newspaper some time back. It said talking about the trouble in the Middle East. And the writer said the problem in the Middle East is not with Sunnis or Shias or even ISIS. It's with religion itself. It's with religion itself. And he goes on to say, if Christianity in the West has caused less bloodshed in recent centuries, it's only because it has become less religious. Now, when I read that, I thought to myself, I wonder did he not remember, or is he too, he hasn't learned about the Second World War or the First World War or things like that or conflicts like that. But he goes on to say, bloodshed in the Middle East will only abate when its people become less religious too. You see, Elijah was being blamed. And in many ways, the church is blamed today for things that they say that people don't agree with. Now, there are times, I'm sure, the church have said things that it ought not to have said. But how can you blame, you see, how can you blame God's people? And in effect, God on trouble, on sin. On sin. Why is there trouble? It's because men have forsaken God and forsaken his laws. That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? Men have forsaken God, forsaken his laws. It becomes self on every hand. You know, John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, also wrote a number of other books, and he wrote one entitled The Life and Death of Mr. Badman. And he said in it, and it's still so applicable today after 400 years, he says there are bad times, and bad they will be until men are better. For they are bad men that make bad times. If men, therefore, would mend, so would the times. So why is there trouble? Elijah was being blamed by Ahab. He had caused all the trouble. But the trouble was because of sin. The trouble was because men had turned away from God. It's because men had forsaken God and his laws. It's not God that troubles our land. It's not God that causes trouble. It's men forsaking God and forsaking his way. You know, the man or woman who belongs to the Lord Jesus will not trouble the land. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you should not be a troubler of this land. It should be the desire of God's people to be an influence for good everywhere, to be salt and light. Wherever we go, to be salt and light. There are many, of course, who claim to be Christians, but so often they speak words of hatred or evil and anger. But Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness. And you see, when we live like that, how can someone who's seeking to live like this be a troubler in his or her country? We can't be. Let us show forth the love of the Lord Jesus wherever we go. To love those who would despitefully use us. To love those who would even ridicule us. Now, you cannot be filled with hatred with those who disagree with you if you're a Christian. I don't agree with Mormons. I don't agree with Roman Catholics. I don't agree with Muslims. Their doctrine is wrong. But it doesn't mean that we hate anyone. We should seek to reach out and love to them and to show them the beauty and the wonder of the Lord Jesus. It should never be said about us that in any way we are troublers, that we cause trouble. Trouble in the place that God has placed us. Wherever we are, in our workplace, whenever we go shopping, wherever we go, we should be men and women and young people who desire to show forth the beauty of Jesus, never to be a troubler, as Elijah is accused of here. Aren't we told as far as possible to live at peace with all men? To live at peace with all men. Now, that doesn't mean you agree with all men, but you live at peace as far as possible. Some people won't want to live at peace with you. I know that. There'll be those people who will say, look, it's an insult of what you're saying. It's an insult of what you believe. But we must seek with all our hearts to live at peace, if at all possible, with all men. So let's think then how Elijah replies to Ahab in verse 18. He says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house. I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house. You see, Elijah would not bow down before Ahab's false accusation. There is a need for firmness. That's something that we must be clear about. We need to be firm. We need to know what we believe. Whenever people come to us with false doctrine, with false ideas, and say, look, you should fall in with us, we need to know what we believe and stand firm against it. Stand firm against the forces of evil. The truth, you see, had to be made known to Ahab. Don't we sing at times, from strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray, tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. Wrestle and fight and pray. And so Elijah fearlessly continues and he places the blame rightly where it belongs. You're the one who has troubled Israel and your father's house. The king, he's talking to the king now, remember. You're the one. He has troubled Israel and your father's house. The king on the throne had to bear the responsibility. Oh, yes, I'm sure he had plenty of advisors. He had plenty of false prophets who would encourage him. We know about the 400 prophets of Baal and so on. They would encourage him in his evil ways. Indeed, his wife, especially his wife, Jezebel, she was guiding him in evil. But Elijah mentions none of them. It's the king. You are to blame, Ahab. He won't pass the blame on to anyone else. Ahab was accountable for his own sin. You know what? We can make many excuses, can't we, when we go our own way? But listen, all of us will answer for our own sin. Yes, someone may have led you on. Maybe some young person and you get into a crowd, many people do, and they're led on. And some friend will tell you, look, everybody's doing it and you should do it as well. But on that day of accountability, you will answer and so will I. God will judge correctly. The ball will not be outside the court, it will be inside. God will judge correctly. And that's why I would urge, especially young people, don't be led astray by so-called friends. Have done with them. If they're going to lead you astray, have done with them. Rather than walk in the paths of evil. Ahab is responsible and Elijah doesn't shrink from his duty to tell him. And then he's told what is wrong. He's told what is wrong. In verse 18 again, the king had forsaken the commands of the Lord and followed Baal. The king had forsaken the commands of the Lord and followed Baal. Now, Ahab, I'm sure, had little time for God's word, little time for his commandments. His wife would have had even less. Yet Elijah tells him, you have forsaken God's commandments. You have forsaken. You know, sometimes people ignore bills when they come through the letterbox. They ignore letters and they say, oh, I'm not worried about it. But that's silly, isn't it? That's silly. You need to deal with things whenever they come your way. And just because we choose to ignore something doesn't mean it goes away. So many today ignore God and ignore his commandments. But God does not go away. God is still God. God is still the Lord. God is still sovereign. And Ahab had lived without God. But now God was calling him to account. Oh, isn't that something that we all need to understand? Ahab had lived without God, but now God was calling him to account. For 3 years, Ahab could see the effects of the famine. He could see the ground that was burnt up, and it didn't lead him to repentance. But now God was calling him to account, to give an account. He had spent years in vanity and pride, not concerned about the things about God. But the word of God is true, no matter whether we believe it or not. One day, perhaps sooner than we think, we will be judged by this law, by his law. And it will be to no avail to say, but I didn't accept it. God has given it, and we will be judged by it. But you know, sometimes you hear people saying, but whenever you look at a passage like this and you say, but sure it was God who stopped the rain. Why are you blaming Ahab? Why are you blaming Ahab? How can the blame for all this trouble be left at Ahab's door? Blame God. But you see, the person who would speak like that knows nothing of who God is and their place in God's world. They know nothing of God who is the creator, and we are his children. We are his creatures. And he has called us to walk in his way. He has called us to obey him. He has called us to walk in the way of holiness. You can't blame God whenever trouble comes. You know, we don't live too far from McGabbery. And we're very conscious of the prison. You see the prison vans coming day after day, and you know they're either taking prisoners to court or bringing prisoners back to the prison, whatever the case might be. And you would say, you went up to that prison and hundreds of men inside that prison, and they're being kept there by just not too many prison officers in comparison. And you would say, look, the prison officers or the police are to blame. But that's not the case. The people locked up there are there because they broke the law. They're responsible. Not the police, not the judge. And that's the case before God. He has given his laws, and those who break them will be punished. It's not God's fault. All who rebel against him are responsible. And no one can lift up their voice against God and accuse him of wrongdoing. So where did Ahab go wrong? We know that he was an evil king, very evil king. He married a heathen princess, and that was his downward spiral went on from that. And she continued to lead him further and further away from God. But the thing was that Ahab went after other gods. The first commandment makes it clear, you shall have no other gods before me. And the second commandment forbids the making of any graven image. And Ahab broke all these commandments many, many times. The images, the Baals. He worshipped Baal. He might have been an evil man, but he wasn't an irreligious man. He had forsaken the true God, and now his worship was for Baal. His evil ways suited the worship of an idol. Ahab had rejected the truth, and he was the troubler of Israel. Tell me this evening, would there be someone here and you still have rejected God's way? You still have turned your back upon the Lord Jesus. You've still turned your back upon what he has done. You haven't come to him in repentance and faith and trusted him. Well, listen, if that is the case, then you are in a sense a troubler in Israel, a troubler in this land. Anyone who has rejected the Lord Jesus is not walking in the way of righteousness and holiness, but walking in the way of evil. If we reject the truth, we'll not only bring trouble upon ourselves, but also we'll bring trouble upon others. Instead of being one who walks in obedience, we will be walking in rebellion. Ahab was a troubler in Israel. And the only way to know that we're not like that is to come to Jesus, to seek him with all our hearts, to walk in his way, to follow in the way of righteousness and holiness day by day, and wherever you go this incoming week, to seek to be a salt and light in this district in which you're placed, wherever you go, that others will see that you love Jesus. That's what must happen. That's what we all must do. Yes, people might ridicule you. People might say you're foolish. People might say, how could you believe such a thing? Everyone believes other ways nowadays. But you must be faithful and firm with the word of God, to follow Jesus, to follow his word, and to walk in his ways. Oh, don't be a troubler today. Don't be a troubler. But be one who loves the Savior and walks in the way of truth and righteousness. Ahab was the troubler, not Elijah. Let us unite in prayer. Lord, we thank you indeed for the gospel. We thank you that the Lord Jesus came to take away our sin, and that in him there is life, in him there is obedience. Lord, help us to walk in the way that you would have us go, and day by day to show others the wonder of this great salvation that is ours in him. For we ask this all in his name. Amen.